Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and a lot of us want this particular paradigm shifter to help us out right now. Dr. Joe Vitale, you all know him from The Secret. I know you would recognize his face if you've seen it. And his latest book is Attract Money Now. Welcome to the show, Dr. Vitale.
Oh, thank you. I've been looking forward to this. What a thrilling day to be here with you. So thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Well, you already impacted us some years ago. I don't know how long ago The Secret was.
Several years at this point, and
Yeah.
people are still talking about it. It's traveling around the world. I hear from the most unusual countries I didn't even know existed.
Wow.
So The Secret is out there changing lives. But it's been 5 years when it first came out.
Well, you know, and you've probably heard this a lot, but a lot of us who are in the kind of the healing world had one big problem with it, which is it didn't engage us in dealing with our subconscious. But
Yeah.
your latest book, Attract Money Now, seems to dig right into that ASAP, and it's easy read, but it's a deep read. And
Thank you.
I also want to say it has a very I was telling Bob, it has a really wonderful, attractive frequency, meaning when I'm reading it, I feel touched deeply, vibrationally.
Wow, thank you. That's one of the highest compliments because there's an energy vibration to everything. And there's an intentional one to my book, Attract Money Now. You are the first person since that book has come out to ever notice it. I am so
Woo-hoo!
impressed.
Maybe I go to the top of the class today. Go do
You
like
get
that.
an A with 3 stars.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And I love that you've broken it down. The thing is, like I said, it was an easy read, but the thing is, you've broken it into bite-sized pieces. And like I say to everybody, the vibrations are good. But let's go through the seven different levels of working with this, and tell people also a little about where you started off with this process.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's probably important to know that I wasn't always a noticeable or notable fellow. I live the life of the rich and famous now, but I was homeless 30 some years ago. I was in poverty for almost a decade. I was struggling. I was depressed. I was unhappy. I was almost suicidal. I had to raise myself from that kind of horrible beginnings in many ways and horrible experiences and work on myself. And I love that you pointed out that the movie The Secret, as wonderful as it is, didn't explore the deeper issues of what's in our unconscious mind, what's in our subconscious in terms of limiting beliefs.
And
And
what sabotages us, yeah?
I believe that's the missing secret.
Yeah.
I believe that's the missing secret. You know, The Secret, I love the movie, whether I was in it or not, I would endorse it. I'd urge everybody to see it. But it's only a primer. It's a introductory lesson to the law of attraction. It's not destined to go beyond that. That wasn't the purpose. But if we really want to get results, if we want to be happier and healthier and attract more money or attract the relationship or the car or the house or whatever it happens to be, we've got to go below the surface. We've got to go into subconscious. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, and I think it has been a groundbreaker for a lot of, we all have our copies, you know
Yes.
that. But you yourself.
The record, I heard one person watch the movie 200 times.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I've seen it more than twice.
Did her life change?
Well, she's been in front of the TV watching her movie. I think she has to turn it off and go do something. That's the problem. A lot of people get fixated on, and it's probably worth mentioning, a lot of people get fixated on a concept, but they forget that they have to take action to bring into being the things that they want.
You have to get the pickaxe out there sometimes.
Yeah, well, you got to go carve the trail. You got to go do something. I mean, life is a co-creation. You can't expect it all to be handed to you, though. I do believe in magic and miracles. We assist their coming into being by what we do. Even the word attraction in the phrase law of attraction has the word action in it.
Well, that's true, hasn't it?
And that's why the woman who watched the movie 200 times, who knows, she might be walking on water now. I don't really know. She may have, you know, ascended into another world. Or is she still watching the DVD? I don't really know.
But tell me this, when you were homeless and going through all the stuff that you went through, what was the pivotal moment, or what was the pivotal
Yeah.
Can you tell us that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I get asked it a lot. And really, books were always my saving grace, I guess, or my life preserver. I lived in the public library in Dallas, I mean, literally, because I was born and raised in Ohio. I wasn't used to the scorching heat that Texas can have. And thank goodness that you can run into a library and hide there in air conditioning. And I read books about belief, like The Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol, which is still in print. It's a classic book, and it deeply influenced me. And I began to realize, I began to have this awakening, this insight, that my life was being created by me. And that was a real tough one, and it's tough for people listening to get to, because it's all about total responsibility. And it's so easy for us to say, oh, it's the president's fault, the government's fault, the terrorist's fault, my parents' fault, my neighbor's fault, culture's fault. It's so easy to point and say there's blame out there. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do that. When I started to realize, wait a minute, maybe my beliefs in me were actually attracting the reality I was actually complaining about.
Hmm.
When I first started to accept that, and I didn't do it easily, this was before radio shows and that like this that are so wonderful, or before the internet, before a lot of things that are free that we take for granted, and I was doing this on my own, it took longer for me to realize I was the manifester of my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a lousy job if what I wanted was happiness. So I had to start working on my beliefs, and that's the big turning point. That's the focus of my book, Attract Money Now, because the first step is all about beliefs. And that's what I tell people, change your beliefs and you will have a different experience in life.
But isn't it hard? Like, I was thinking, when I was flipping through certain parts of it again, I was going, well, what about things like astrology? You know, I can't do it because I have a Mars in Pisces, or I can't do it because, you know, we have to really even look at those things that a lot of us have.
I love that. Boy, you're good at this. You can do this full time. And when I was in Russia, I was interviewed a whole lot of times, and one person had asked me about astrology and the planetary influence on us and karma and free will. And I spontaneously said, I believe in astrology. I believe in finding out what the planets say based on my birth and so forth. But I think it's more powerful to go to the power that moves the planets.
Aha.
And that was profound for me as well as for them, because it was an inspired answer. I had never thought of it before. But when we give our power away to planets and we say, well, Saturn is in my moon uprising and who knows what Jupiter is doing and Pluto is left a long time ago. So when we look at those planets, we're giving our power away.
That's right.
But if we look behind it and say, wait a minute, there is a divinity, a God, a life force, an energy, whatever you want to call it, that moves the planets and moves me. It would be far more powerful and far wiser for us to look to the energy that's moving the planets and not to the planets.
Because we all have our own streak of divinity, don't we?
Absolutely. We are divinity, each one of us. That's part of my message, is that we are here to awaken. We all feel like we're these individuals and we're all separate and it's us against the universe and we feel like victims or we have to fight. And maybe we feel empowered sometimes after watching the movie The Secret or listening to a good show or reading even my book, Attract Money Now.
I'm but never after coming a while, back we start to this to, planet. That's what people say. I'm never coming back.
They're never coming back?
Yeah.
Well, that's humorous to me because they don't usually have a choice.
Yeah.
If they haven't finished their life work or they haven't awakened in this lifetime, they get to rest in between, but they're coming back.
Yeah.
They're coming back because they're not finished. And I mean this semi-humorously, but very truthfully, is that we are here to awaken. And if we don't awaken, if we don't accept our challenges, we don't learn how to attract what we want and become empowered beings and express our divinity, guess what? Our luggage will be packed and we will return.
Well, if we do your book, at least the luggage will be attractive, right?
That's right. So, and I'm doing my best to help. I mean, my book, Attract Money Now, I'm giving it away. Mm-hmm. I'm not charging for it. I tell people, go to attractmoneynow.com. You can download the book. You can read the book. I can't read it for people. I can't do it for people, but I can do my part and give it to people. That's what I'm doing with the book. That's how important this is to me. It's my life mission to help people attract their dreams, to live their inspired life, to express their divinity. And if I can do it by giving away a book like Attract Money Now, then by God, let's do it.
Well, I think we waylaid this part that was pivotal to you when you were living in the library down in Texas.
Dallas.
In Dallas?
That's where it was, Dallas.
So you, at that point, you had a dream about writing, did you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did, and that's worth noting because I wasn't homeless because I was into drugs or alcohol or any sort of, you know, self-sabotage of that sort. I had a noble dream. I wanted to write books and plays and novels that would change people's lives. I wanted to be a writer when I was 16 years old. And I started making attempts. I would study. I put myself through an intense self-study program. I was horrible in school. I failed classes. I was put in the slow row in grade school. I mean, I did not do well there. But when I decided, and decisions so powerful, when I decided I wanted to be an author and start to write things that made a difference, I learned how to do it by teaching myself. One of my first publications were magic tricks. I invented a magic trick. I wrote it up. It was published. I wrote poetry. It was published. I wrote a play. It was produced. But I never made any money from any of that.
Was it hard getting them published? Was it hard getting it produced?
Oh, it was worse than today. Because back then, what you had to do was take your whatever you wrote, put it in a manila envelope. You had to have another manila envelope with your name and address and your stamps on it, folded and included with whatever you wrote, your poetry, your article. Then you put that in the mail, and then you waited 6 weeks to 6 months to get your rejection.
Wow.
And then you went through the process again. And back then, when I was rejected from something I wrote, I was devastated.
I'll bet you were.
I was crippled. I couldn't function. I took it as a rejection of me personally, like I wasn't good enough, and I looked at it as survival. I wasn't being accepted, so I wasn't being paid, so I wasn't going to pay my rent, I wasn't going to be able to eat. No wonder I went into homelessness. I was trying to do the right thing, but it wasn't happening.
Well, your very first point of the 7 points of becoming prosperous is love yourself. Were you having a struggle with that, or did you understand the depth of that? Or
I didn't understand it at the time, but in the book Attract Money Now, the very first step is about your beliefs. You have to change your mindset. And one of those beliefs for most people is they don't feel they deserve good things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel they deserve money. They don't feel they deserve happiness. They don't feel they deserve the right romance. And we have to look at that. This goes back to your brilliant observation earlier about the secret not going deep enough. And we have to go and look at the unconscious mind, the subconscious mind, and what's in there in terms of beliefs. Most of us were brought up hearing no and being told we couldn't do things or we couldn't achieve things. So many times we were either told or concluded that we weren't good enough.
You're like, who do you think you are?
Exactly. And that is in the subconscious brain. That is in the subconscious belief system. So when people go to try to do something, and it doesn't have to be much of anything, they could try to attract a bicycle. But if inside they feel, oh, who are you to want that? Mm-hmm. Or you're not good enough to have that. Or you didn't earn that. Or you did things wrong in the past, so why should you have something good now? All of that will veto your intention.
Mm-hmm.
Another belief that this is really powerful, it's all in that first step in Attract Money Now. I tell people, I know that you want to attract more money, and you probably want it to do something good in your life. You want to pay your bills, or you want to buy something for your parents or your loved one, whatever it happens to be. It's all noble. It's all positive. You want to attract money for a great purpose. However, if in your unconscious mind you think money is the root of all
evil,
I don't even have to finish the line. Everybody said it in their head.
Yep.
as long as they think money is evil, they're going to have a tough time attracting it.
Yeah, the filthy lucre.
Yeah, but then we have to look at this more closely and go, well, is money really evil? We're taught it is, because when we look at the media, most of the bad guys are rich, most of the corporations are greedy. We watch TV shows, we watch movies, we watch the theater, and almost always these wealthy bad people are misusing money, doing dastardly deeds, and you don't even consciously think about it, but you subconsciously conclude money corrupts.
Mm-hmm.
Money must be bad. I don't want it. And that's where it gets tricky, because consciously you say, I want to attract more money because I want to buy a new car. I want to attract more money because I want to send it to Africa and help people who are starving. Yet, unconsciously, you're thinking, money's bad. Keep it away from me. That's why we have to do the internal work. That's that whole first step in my book, Attract Money Now, is understanding our beliefs about ourselves and our beliefs about money, looking at them and releasing them so we are free.
So is it, what does it take? So if you bring up that you've got money is evil in a belief, then you just write it and you keep, what do you do?
Yeah, no, I love that. It's a great question because we want to be practical about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to help people. And the way that I help them is by explaining the belief away.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the statement money is the root of all evil is not even accurate. It comes from biblical literature, and who knows what actually was said in the Bible when it was first written. I mean, that can go into a whole rabbit hole of a discussion. But the longer statement, as we know it, is the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, well, that helps a little bit. It's not just money itself. Money actually is neutral. Money can be used for any number of things. You can save the world with money, you know, and you can do bad things with money. Money's neutral. The love of money is the root of all evil. Well, depending on what kind of love you have for it. It fits your obsession. Now it's taken you away from divinity. Now it's taken you away from your life calling. Now it's taken you away from your own internal value system. What I've learned is that the wealthy people I admire, including myself, we're not in love with money. We're not in love with money. Money's a tool. We appreciate money, we use money, but money doesn't dictate our lives.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite quote, I got to tell you this, Walt Disney said, I want to make money from my movies so I can continue making movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purity in that expression.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he doesn't want it because he wants to build the biggest house or the biggest whatever. He wants it so he can make movies, which is his calling. Even Donald Trump, who most people think is the biggest egotist, he's often said that he doesn't really care about money. He cares about making deals. He loves deals. Deal making is his passion. How does he know if he's doing well with a deal? Because of the money. The money's a scorecard. That's all. It's not the obsession. For him, his calling is making deals. That's really where we want to look. For anybody that wants to attract more money, they really want to look at their calling. What is it that they're passionate about? What is it that they long to do that they feel like they were born here to do? That's what they want to pursue. And then you only have an eye on money, because money, like with Walt Disney, will help you create your calling and fulfill your calling. But it's not the obsession. So the way to get around that belief about money is the root of all evil is to really look at this, as I've been explaining in depth, and realize it's not true. It's not true. It's a belief that gets reinforced in the culture. Most of us unconsciously just absorbed it by living and breathing in the world and never looked at it. I'm inviting people to look at it right now with you. And, of course, when they read my book, Attract Money Now, they can read it in there.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me that you were saying how distressed people get when they don't have any money, and quite often that's where they do negative things because they're under such terrible pressure.
Yeah, isn't that the most interesting or the most ironic thing, is that they're having this love-hate relationship with money, and yet they're driven to do horrible things that they wouldn't otherwise do because they're trying to bring money in.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? I'm glad you're saying all this because I'm thinking
about
it.
Well, you're pointing it out.
Oh.
I'm just writing off of your insights here. I'd sit here in silence if it wasn't for you.
So you went through all of this waking up and self-awareness and so on, and that was well before The Secret. Did you design you were going to be involved in such a big movie?
I had no idea. I had no idea. That movie, to tell you the story, I've written a lot of books, as you probably know. I had written a book called The Attractor Factor, and The Attractor Factor is about the law of attraction a long time ago. And the woman who created the movie The Secret, long before she was famous, Rhonda Byrne, she called me up. She had called me, and she had read the book, The Attractor Factor, and I didn't know her at all, and she was just a fan. And she said, I read this book, The Attractor Factor. I love it. It's about the law of attraction. I want to make a movie about the law of attraction. If I do, will you be in it? And I was just polite because I really didn't know her. I didn't know that she'd ever even call back. You know, you hear from people who have dreams all the time, but they don't follow through.
Right.
And I just said, yeah, sure, of course. If you get the money and you get it together, yeah, give me a call. And just pretty much let it go and forgot it. 30 days later, I got the phone call saying, okay, I'm making the movie. Can you fly to Chicago? I want to interview you there. And even then, I almost didn't do it because I was really busy. And I thought, well, who knows what this movie is or where it's going to go. This could be a complete waste of time. Well, I went to Chicago anyway. I spent my hours with her. I did the interview, came home and forgot about it until the world shook 6 months after that. And life has never been the same.
Wow, isn't that exciting?
It is exciting beyond belief. I am grateful beyond belief. I'm glad I said yes to the opportunities. I'm glad I supported her and her dream. And I was the very first person to promote that movie. When Rhonda said the movie's done, you can tell the online world. My email had already been written months beforehand, waiting for her to give me the blessing to announce it. I was the first to promote that thing, and I promote it every chance I get. I love that movie. And again, whether I was in it or not, I'd still promote it because I think it's an awakening kind of movie.
It
it's
is
the kind
an
of thing we need.
Movie. You're right. Absolutely right. But is that an example of giving without expectation section two?
Well, it is an example, but in the book, when I talk about giving, that's related to money. And okay. This is a principle most people probably heard of, but most people also probably aren't doing. Giving refers to, I guess in religion they often call it tithing, where they say give 10% of your income, and usually they mean the church. Mm-hmm. But I say give in order to receive. You've got to start the flow. Money needs to circulate as it is. That's the only way that we can help everybody on the planet is money needs to circulate. It needs to move. One way that you can get it to start moving and to end up moving back in your direction is to give. What I tell people to do is give wherever you received inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be from you and I inspiring people on this show.
Mm-hmm.
That could be from a cab driver. That can be from a waiter or waitress. It could be from anybody. Most people think of churches and ministers or priests. That can be the case as well. But I open up the range here and say, look, stop and ask yourself right now, where have you been inspired in the last week? Hmm. Who or what inspired you? What gave you the motivation to continue, or an insight, or a spiritual nourishment? What helped you internally in the last week or so? Wherever that source is, write a check or give cash for about 10% of what you've already got going for you. Give 10% of that source, and I add, without expectation. And what I mean by that is some people give 10% to somebody, and they expect it to come back from that very person.
Mm.
That's not how the money circulation works. You give now and allow it to come back to you in an unexpected way.
Well,
that is the best way to give without expectation. You're not expecting it. If you give to the Red Cross, you don't expect the Red Cross to give you money back. But you can expect the universe to give you money back in time, and usually 10 times more than what you gave.
But, you know, so often people are afraid to do that, afraid they're going to be broke.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm so glad that you said that, because why are they afraid? Their belief system says there isn't enough, this isn't going to work, or if it does work, it won't work for me. There isn't enough to go around.
Right,
I only have so much. yeah, what are all of these? They're negative limiting beliefs.
Right.
They're not facts. And that's the distinction I want people listening to get, is that beliefs are things you make up in your mind and just reinforce by repetition. Facts we can all agree on. We can't all agree that this isn't going to work for you. We can't. That's impossible. You might have the belief that, oh, if I give money, or even I gave money before and it didn't come back to me. Well, that was the past. That has nothing to do with the present or in the future unless you create a belief out of it. So I'm here to vaporize the beliefs.
Good.
I'm here to evaporate those beliefs, because when you give, you open yourself, and this is the psychological, even metaphysical principle at work, and even the law of attraction work. When you're giving because you're grateful, mm-hmm. you're opening yourself to receive in gratitude 10 times or more multiplied. A friend of mine says, the window in the world that you receive your income through, that window is made bigger by how much you give.
Hmm.
So if you only give a little bit, you have a little tiny window to receive through. If you don't give it all, your window is closed to receive. The more you give, and again with the stipulation that you give where you've been nourished, where you've been inspired, where you've been rejuvenated, where you've been internally excited, when you give there, you create this window. It's the same window that you will be receiving through a little later.
Hmm.
This is a powerful thing, but I know most people are resistant, including me. I remember thinking, yeah, I'll give when I got some money to give. You know, we all get to that point and we go, yeah, I'll do it when the money shows up. And that's a form of self-sabotage, because everybody's got some money on them. They may have
true.
A dollar on them. I know the times when I had a dollar or $5 or whatever it was, I could have given 10% of that. And I didn't, because I was practicing scarcity.
Yeah.
And as long as I practice scarcity, guess what? Money was scarce.
It was scarce. I have something funny, is one of the things I've manifested easily is furniture. I've never bought furniture. I have more furniture than I have brains sometimes. And I kind of wonder, like you're talking about the window, I'm kind of chuckling going, huh, I wonder what that means. That means there's some sort of vein of giving and receiving going on that particular subject. Is
yes.
it a subject, you know?
Yeah. Well, and see, that's a great illustration. Because most of us have an area where we don't have any limiting beliefs around it. And to be honest with you, when I first practiced giving, I didn't give money. I gave books.
Oh, okay.
Because I was a bookaholic. I still am a bookaholic. I'm sitting in an office with thousands of books around me. I just absolutely love books. And I was writing book reviews at that time. And I would get $50 for a book review, something like this. This was decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I would get the books for free. And so I would practice giving away the books that I would receive as my way of giving. And what I noticed is I got more books. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If it works for books, why wouldn't it work for money?
Excellent. Yeah.
And so I moved up from books to money. I've had the same experience with attracting cars. You know, when you're homeless, you don't have cars. People used to say, what kind of car did you live in when you were homeless?
What yeah. kind? Yeah, tell me.
I wish there was a car. I didn't have a car. I wasn't living in any car. I was living on the streets, literally.
Oh,
and so today, though, I have no negativity about cars. And I had, at one point, I had 12 cars here. I just kept attracting new cars. And then I got to the point where I was tired of some of them, so I gave them away. Well, guess what that did?
Well,
it encouraged the universe to send more cars to me.
That's
so
funny.
All of these are true with you and your furniture, me and books, me and cars. All of this is true. And by extension, like I say in my book, Attract Money Now, do this with money. And if you're really resistant, just do a little bit. Just open that window a little bit and give some, again, to wherever you're being inspired. Don't expect the money to come from that source that you gave to, but do expect it to come from the universe. Just it'll come out of the sky. You'll win something. Somebody will give you something. In fact, I'll tell you real quick. a friend of mine was listening to one of my audio programs where I was talking about this whole concept, and she was driving and she was listening, and she started to imagine giving more money and receiving more money. And as she was doing all of this and thinking about giving and receiving, she parked her car, opened the door, and there was a $20 bill on the ground.
Wow.
As she reached for it, she realized it wasn't a $20 bill, it was a $50 bill. As she reached for the $50 bill, she looked over, and there was a pile of cash on the ground. It was all 50s, and it amounted to about $300. Apparently, somebody had gone to an ATM and dropped it. Who knows? She put a sign up, if anybody dropped anything in this area, you know, call this number, and I'll take care of it. Nobody ever called. Nobody ever followed through. She ended up finding $300, and that was hers.
Wow.
So my point is, money comes in the most unexpected ways. It could be you're driving along and park, and there it is. So, but you do need to give. It's part of the seven steps in my book, Attract Money Now. And again, anybody can have it. Go to attractmoneynow.com, and you can download the book.
And then when you get for the prosperous spending. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Oh, prosperous
so
spending.
Different.
That's one
giving
of my favorites.
Giving is different than spending, right?
Yes. Giving and spending are two very different things.
Yes.
Giving is where you are kind of rewarding the universe or giving thanks to the universe for the inspiration you received. And again, that it could be to a waiter. It could be to any number of people. Prosperous spending is completely different. Prosperous spending is my coined term, and what it means is when you have the desire to buy something and you have the money in that moment, because I'm quick to tell people, I'm not saying go in the debt.
Right.
I am not saying to bank out your load out your credit cards. What I am saying is if you have the money to buy something and you have the desire to buy something, you must buy it. Now, why would I say that? If you have the desire to buy something, and it could be that piece of furniture, and it could be a book, and it could be a seminar, and it could be a dress or something, you have a true desire for that item, and you look in your pocket or purse, and you have the money for it, you have to buy it because it sends a signal to you and to the universe that you are worth it, that you love yourself, you appreciate yourself, and you're sending a signal to your unconscious mind that you have enough money, that you know more money is going to come to you. You have faith in yourself, the universe, money, circulation, all of this. Now contrast this, what if you don't buy it?
Mm-hmm.
You got the desire and you got the money, but you say no. Well, you just told yourself, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve it, I don't love myself, I don't believe I'll have more money in the future, I got to hold on to this money right now, I believe in scarcity, I believe that there isn't enough to go around. My God, that feels horrible.
Well, it's all fear, isn't it?
It's all fear. One comes from love, the other comes from fear. And I say, if you want more money, which is the whole program in the whole topic in my book, Attract Money Now, if you want to attract more money now, what you have to do is things like this. Take affirmative action to take care of yourself. So if you have that thing in front of you and it's, you know, a new suit or something that you truly want, you really want this, you feel it in your heart, and you have the money in your pocket, in your purse, in your checking account, whatever, you have the money, you got to buy it to stay in the prosperous thinking flow.
Okay.
That'll be an affirmation to attract more. It engages the law of attraction to keep you in the prosperity flow. But the opposite also works. The law of attraction is going to give you whatever you focus on. So if you start thinking fear, negativity, limitation, scarcity, the law of attraction is going to kick in and give you exactly that. So prosperous purchasing is a vote in terms of taking care of yourself.
Hmm. Well, you've got me thinking here, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then it says ask for help.
Yeah, that's another tip in there, ask for help. You know, when I was homeless, I didn't want to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
I so was driven. It's a very egotistic way of living, but most of us are taught you got to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised by this macho ex-Marine, prize fighter, tough guy who I just saw last week. He's still a tough guy. He's still doing it his way. And I was taught, don't ask for help. Do it yourself. And when I was struggling and when I was homeless, that was the worst, because I would not raise my hand and say, look, I need food, I need a handout, I need a place to stay, I need a job, I need something. When I learned to start asking for help, I learned that there's two levels of asking for help. The one is you ask the people that are walking around that can give you what you need. And that could mean asking a family member, it could mean asking a friend, it could be applying for a job, it could mean going for a loan. But you ask the people that can help you. You go ahead and allow yourself to be vulnerable and say, look, I can't do this on my own. Who can help me? And you ask that person. That is very powerful. The other form of asking, and this is a little bit more metaphysical, I believe in asking your guides, your teachers, what some people would call your guardian angels. Mm-hmm. I believe in praying. I know that when I was I was out of homelessness, but I was in poverty and I was really struggling, and I had a home, or at least a place to live, in Houston at that point, and I would look at my pile of bills and I would think, I don't know how to pay those bills. I honestly don't know how to pay those bills. I'm doing everything I can, but the money's not there. The money hasn't arrived yet. What do I do? And I would ask for help from my guardian angels. I would pray and I would say, look, I don't know how to do this. Do it for me or show me how to do it. And son of a gun, if all of those bills didn't get paid. So asking for help, which is one of the tips in Attract Money Now, there's that two levels. You ask somebody who can help you achieve your goal, whatever it is, and be willing to ask for help from the invisible realm. For me, that's just as real as the visible, but most of us don't make contact with it. I say, have trust, do it, ask for help.
There's another thing that I'm considering as you're talking is self-love.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's harder to ask for, you know, if you're hard on yourself, it's hard to ask for help, isn't it?
It is. You know, I did a seminar years ago. This was decades ago, and it was in Houston. And they said, how do you feel when somebody asks you for help? And I reflected, and I thought, well, I feel good. I feel like it's flattering almost, and if I can help somebody who's asking me for help, then I feel like I'm doing a good deed. I feel good about myself. I feel like I'm helping. And she said, this woman leading the seminar said, well, when you don't ask for help, you're denying people the experience that you just described. So I learned it's really important for me and for the person I'm asking for me to go through with this. It's good for me to do it because it's a way of me taking care of myself. It's a way of me saying, look, I need food, clothing, shelter, job, whatever it is. And I'm saying, Joe, I care about you, so I'm going to ask for help from these people who might be able to help. And then those people I'm asking, they feel good because they get to do something for another human being, which internally makes them feel valuable. So it ends up being a win-win. Most of us never thought of it that way because we think, oh, we're just kind of begging off of somebody, or we're smooching or mooching or whatever the word is off of other people. But that's not how they see it. If they can help, they will, and they'll feel good about it. And you're going to feel good because you're taking care of yourself.
Now tell me, did your folks know that you were going through a hard time when you were homeless?
Not until after the fact.
Okay.
And that's a great question because that was part of my own ego. They were in Ohio, I was in Texas, and had I said, I need help, they probably would have helped. But I didn't because I was trying to accomplish things on my own, and that's the teaching tale for everybody. Don't try to do it all by yourself. We're not supposed to do things like a Lone Ranger. We are here as a team. We are here to co-create. We are here to help each other. Had I raised my hand and said, look, I need help, I would have gotten it. But I was so bullheaded, macho, limited thinking, ego-driven, that I'd rather starve and struggle than ask for help.
Wow.
And, of course, I starved and struggled as long as I didn't.
But it took you 10 years?
It did. Yeah, it sounds, gosh. Now, you know, we say 10 years like it just went in a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. But when you live through those 10 years, my God, the horrible experiences. I was married during part of that. And I remember my wife at the time, she died in 2004.
Oh, my.
But I remember she dropped a jar of tomato sauce because she was making spaghetti. She dropped a jar of tomato sauce and it broke on the floor. And I didn't have $2.50 to go buy another one.
Hmm.
I remember those.
Aw, that was hard, eh?
That was hard, exactly. And those are the kind of things that I feel for because I lived through them. And, of course, today, you know, all is fine. I can go by the grocery store and all the tomato jars if I wanted. But I'm feeling for the people listening who may be nodding their head going, yeah, I'm struggling.
Well, you know, the other thing that's occurring to me is that there sometimes is a lot of judgment on people that are going through what you were going through because you want to do what you want to do.
Yes.
And people are going, well, go back to, I don't know, working in the Safeway, teaching school, whatever it is you did, right?
Right.
And that can sometimes really limit people, can it not?
It can, and that's a great point as well. I had worked on the railroad since I was 5 years old. My father took me out to do labor on the tracks, and I don't imagine I did much when I was five, but he had me out there, and I continued to do labor through most of my life until I left Ohio and came to Texas. And again, I was pursuing being an author, but I did not get the rah-rah encouragement from family and friends to go and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, I've recreated myself as a musician, and I now have 6 albums out.
Oh, wow, we want to hear those. Great.
Well, thank you. That'll have to be another interview, I guess. But,
yes, yes.
But my point is, 2.5 years ago, I decided to be a musician, and I faced the same kind of thing when I decided to be an author decades ago. And it was not everybody around you, including your family and friends, is going to support you.
Right.
You've got to find your internal beacon of strength. And I admit, especially during the writing days, that was tough. Because mm-hmm. I really wanted other people to urge me on and to cheerlead me and to say, you can do it. But I didn't always have that. So I feel for the people who are going, yeah, I want to be an author too, or I want to open my own restaurant, or I want to write a cookbook, or I want to do whatever. I'm telling them, you got to do whatever your dream is, because that's what you were born to do. If you get support from family and friends, wonderful. If you don't, learn who to tune out. Learn who, it's like listening to the radio station. If somebody comes up and they don't particularly like whatever it is you're doing, change that radio station. Don't hang around them as much or change the topic with them. And
because
go to somebody
they'll influence
else.
Your beliefs, will they not?
They can.
Yeah.
And that's an important insight because most people are influenced by the 5 or 6 people they're closest to.
Mm-hmm.
Their income level will unconsciously all match each other. Their attitude towards life will unconsciously all match each other because they're hearing beliefs in conversation and they're concluding, oh, this is the acceptable belief. This is the acceptable lifestyle. This is why getting in mastermind groups is so important. Mastermind groups are where other people, not necessarily family or friends, and most likely not family and friends, but people who have big goals that you can support will also support you. And you get into a mastermind group that can be online, that can meet once a week, in person, once a month. And these are the people who do say, yeah, you can do it. And in turn, you tell them, yes, you can do it. So you're putting together your own cheerleading squad in a way.
Are you in one of those?
I have been in numerous of those for years, and I even wrote a book on it called Meet and Grow Rich.
Oh, wow.
With Bill Hibbler. It's all on how to create your own mastermind, Meet and Grow Rich. That one I don't give away, but you can find it at Amazon, and all my books are on Amazon and other places like that.
Great. Well, so you have some great stories in here about people like Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, as a giver,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because most people think of him as a latter-day tycoon, and they even think of him as one of the merchants of greed.
Mm-hmm.
And what they don't know is, even when he was a kid, he gave away money. Now, back then, you were talking about giving away pennies or dimes,
mm-hmm.
but also back then, pennies and dimes are what we would probably equate to $5 and $10 bills. And he learned to do it, and he openly said that a large part of the reason that he was able to attract wealth as he grew up is because he practiced giving when he was a little boy before he really had any money worth giving. He just knew that you have to start now. And that's the lesson of Rockefeller and some of these other greats, is that it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what your income is, doesn't matter how much money you have in your pocket or purse or a bank account, you start giving now.
Mm-hmm.
Start giving now, and then watch that flow start coming to you. It has worked for Rockefeller and a long line of other people, and it'll work for you as well. You just, again, like all those steps in Attract Money Now, you just have to do them.
Mm-hmm. Talk about Nevilleizing.
I love Nevilleizing. That's something, it's based on an author called Neville Goddard. Most people think of him as Neville. Mm-hmm. And he had it this way of manifesting your reality by imagining the end result of what you want as if it's already done.
Aha.
That's what I call Nevilleizing. And this is profoundly different than what most people do, because they sit here and go, okay, I'm going to attract money, and 5 weeks from now I'm going to have several thousand dollars, and I'm going to have a new car, and this, that, and the other. That's one way of setting your intention and projecting out there what you want. But Neville would say, you already have the $1,000. It's in your bank account right now. You already have the car that you want, or the relationship, or the house, or the job, whatever it is. You have it right now. What does that feel like to have it right now? The more you can get into that kind of a holographic, kinesthetic feeling that it's not out in the future, it's here. Mm. The money you want isn't 5 weeks away. It's actually in your bank account right now. How does it feel internally? Are you happy? Are you thrilled? Are you excited? Even imagine looking at your bank account and you see there's an extra $5,000 there. Or you look out the window and in your driveway is this really cool car that you were fantasizing about, but now you own it. In fact, the keys are in your hand. That kind of real-time visualization with feeling is Nevilleizing. And my experience has been, man, whenever you Nevilleize something, you speed up the law of attraction. You hit the floorboard with the gas pedal, and you accelerate that happening in your life because you've given this message to your body and mind that it's already here. It's
real.
You're
saying if you actually feel it, if you vibrate to it, then it's more likely.
Yeah, and that's it. Going back to what you said about my book, you felt the vibration in it. There is a vibration in everything. When you feel that you already have the money you want, you raise your vibration internally to match it. This makes you a magnet for it, and before you know it, it's real. It does happen.
I love that. Now, this is a small aside. It's not quite as vaulted as what you're saying right now, but you have a little blurb by Dr. Seuss at the beginning of this step five. I love that. Can I read that, or do you want to read
it? Yeah, please read it, because I don't have it in front of me.
You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose, Dr. Seuss. I love that.
And that is absolutely true. Some words of wisdom from Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, and actually he's really had an impact on a lot of young people, so he's doing his work too, eh?
Yes.
Is Neville also a manifesting guru teacher? He's not somebody I know.
Yes, he is. Neville wrote a lot of books. He passed away in the 70s, so his books were in the 60s and 70s, maybe even in the 50s. They're still in print. He's very, very popular. The essence of Neville, though, is what I've described, what I call Nevilleizing. And the way that people can do it, because they can do it right now, is to pick something they want to attract. And we've been talking about money, so it could be money, but it could be a relationship. It could even be a health issue they're dealing with or somebody else is dealing with. And it could be the car or the home or the loved one, the soulmate, whatever. They can pick it right now. And what most of us do is start to visualize, oh, I can see the money coming, or I can see the outline of this soulmate. What Neville would do is just say, step in to that picture. Step into it so that as you sit right now and you're listening to our voices, you also realize it's already your reality. Your soulmate is sitting in the other room, and when you get off the phone, you've got to walk over there, and you've got to go talk to him or her, or your car is down in the driveway, and you know it. You've actually saw it in your mind earlier. It's so real that you're going to look for the keys, go downstairs, or go outside to the driveway, and you're going to get behind the wheel, start it up, and you're going to go for a joyride.
Yay.
Or the money is so real that you just kind of spontaneously open up your checkbook and you look and you go, wow, look, there's an extra $5,000 there. I forgot all about that.
Oh, wow.
It's, yes, and that's the feeling. It's real. You kind of give yourself a self-trance or a hallucination to the extent that you're kind of smugly thinking, man, this works so easy. What else can I go for? That's nebulizing. You don't put it off in the future. You visualized it, and then you stepped into it, and you felt it real now.
Well, and also when you're inspired by someone, as you were inspired by Rod Sterling, do you want to talk a bit about that? Because I was wondering about, you know, how Tony Robbins and people like that create people, model people that they want to emulate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's a vibrational thing as well, isn't it?
It is, and I've done that ever since I was a kid. Of course, I didn't know what I was doing, but I would read books about famous people or see a movie about famous people, some of which I actually wrote to and would get autographs back when I was growing up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was doing this really early. And when I decided to be an author, Rod Serling, the man who invented The Twilight Zone, and he used to introduce
and
end all those great shows, those classic episodes, that little guy smoking a cigarette, you know, with a little tight upper lip, that was Rod Serling. And I loved Rod Serling. I thought, my word, what a genius, what a great writer, a psychological master at creating short stories. And I got to meet him when I was still in high school. He gave a talk at a nearby city, and I and a few friends went over there. And it was one of the most disappointing experiences of my life.
Why is that?
Because he was human.
Aww.
And I, being this, you know, I don't know, just being in love with the dream or being in love with the ideal, thought that he was godlike. And he came out. He's a little run of a guy. He was unshaven. He was a chain smoker, so he's smoking cigarettes, and he openly said that he was terrified of most of the things he wrote, that he said he had been a boxer, and he was the only boxer who had to be carried into and out of the ring. He said that if there was a bump in the middle of the night, he would be the first person outside in his underwear, standing there shivering, scared, and he was human, absolutely human. And I remember thinking, well, my goodness, if he can become a great author, then I can become one too.
Oh, wow.
And that was a turning point for me because I thought, I can do this.
But isn't it interesting because he put out some terrific imagery, some terrific visions, some terrific visualization. I mean, I guess he didn't nebulize in the sense that you're talking about. But
well, I think it might have been reversed for him because I read his biography after he passed away 1 year after I had met him. He died pretty young.
Oh, wow.
And I read his biography. The poor man had been traumatized by the war, World War II, most likely.
Oh.
And he had nightmares. He could never sleep. All of those images that he would be able to instill in his TV scripts, The Twilight Zone, and later he wrote Night Gallery, and he wrote movies and stuff. Most of them were very disturbing. Mm-hmm. Brilliantly done, but a lot of that disturbance was coming directly from his internal psyche.
Wow.
He was not at peace.
So there's a message in that, isn't there?
There really is.
Well, let's go back to the Ho'oponopono thing, which is in here.
Well, Ho'oponopono, I wrote a whole book on that called Zero Limits. That's a Hawaiian healing technique that you can use to virtually evaporate any of the negative beliefs or limitations, whether you know what they are or not. And the way I discovered that is there is a therapist who had worked for a mental hospital for the criminally insane. Get that, a mental hospital for the criminally insane in Hawaii. And they couldn't help these people. These people, these patients, these inmates were so violent and unpredictable, they were sedated or shackled virtually every day.
Wow.
And in their desperation, they kept looking for another therapist because therapists would come and quit. Nurses would come and quit. Nobody wanted to be in the hellish environment.
It was a dead-end kind of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and so this one therapist who knew the Hawaiian technique, he went there, and he started using the technique, which is a technique you use on yourself, not on other people, and as he used it on himself, those other people got better.
Hmm.
They didn't have to shackle them, they didn't have to sedate them, and within a few months, some of them were being released. Within 4 years, all of them were released, and the ward was closed.
Wow.
And I heard this story and I thought, my word, somebody has to tell it. And so I have a short version of it in the book, Attract Money Now. And again, people can read that at attractmoneynow.com for free. And the longer story, which was co-authored by the therapist himself, is called Zero Limits. But Ho'oponopono is the technique, and it's basically a type of prayer. You're saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Just those four phrases.
But the other thing that it's doing, it links to this book for me anyway, because it gets people inside realizing what their beliefs are and how they have to release them and so on.
Absolutely.
In order to manifest, you know.
Yeah, this is what I love about you and what you're doing here, is that you're going deeper than the obvious. So in other words, people that know the law of attraction, which is wonderful, is still kind of on a superficial level. They have to go deeper into the beliefs in their subconscious mind, which is what you keep pointing back to. And Ho'oponopono, this zero limits healing technique, does exactly that. Mm. It works with what in the philosophy of Ho'oponopono would be called programs. Mm. Programs or beliefs, sometimes it's called data. All of that's in our subconscious mind, most of which we don't even know what it is,
mm-hmm.
but it limits us.
But it doesn't say you have to really dredge it all up.
Not at all.
You just need to get beyond it.
Not at all. I don't even know that dredge is the right word, though. I know a lot of people think of it that way because they think, oh, it's murky and it's dark and it's the path to hell.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not that at all. It's the path to heaven,
mm-hmm.
and it's a matter of releasing the ones that are blocking you right now. And it can be easier than what most people think.
And Dr. Vitale, I have to unfortunately end this because they'll hook us off stage. So we're going to miss steps 6 and 7, which are think like an entrepreneur and give to your community and participate in your community. But people can get it on your website, right?
Yeah, the book is free. Just go to www.attractmoneynow.com. And the book is there. They can have it. They can read it. There is a printed version on Amazon, and I think the Kindle version's on Amazon. Those are for sale. But if they want it to read, attractmoneynow.com, absolutely free.
Well, you know, this is a very, very inspiring version of the law of attraction, and I feel richer already, so there.
And so do I. Thank you. Your vibe is way up there. I love what you're doing, and Godspeed to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. And I'll say to everyone, thank you so much for listening. For heaven's sakes, get this book. You'll really feel enriched. And thank you, Dr. Joe Vitale. And good night, everyone, and many blessings.